and welcome back to Sass Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 234. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. You know, we're into April. March has been over now, and March Madness is officially over now.
No more basketball for like 7 more months.
Yeah, you know, as soon as March Madness was over, I looked over and I was like, Mary, I don't know what to do with my life anymore. I'm bored. And yeah, we'll just have to, you know, wait until the next season, I guess, which is very far away. Although the NBA is ramping up, so if you're a basketball fan in general, you'll have some basketball to look forward to. The regular season's ending within the next week or two. So, you know, it's a very pivotal moment for teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's playoffs.
Yep. So, yeah, this weekend we watched the men's and women's mm-hmm. Final Four and championship games. So those were all fun to watch. And, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this year the women's tournament's been marketed a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think they broke a bunch of records as well in terms of viewership.
Yeah, for I think it was one of the Final Four games for the women had more viewers than any NBA game had.
Wow.
This past season. So pretty good for, you know.
For just a single game, yeah.
That's... No, not combined. Just
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then we watched the women's, which was LSU versus Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was pretty high scoring. Like, the winning team, LSU, got over 100 points, which is, you know, I wish, you know, our Zags got over 100 points in, you know, our, you know, most important game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was fun. And then, of course, we watched the NCAA championship game for the men's side, which was the UConn Huskies against the San Diego State Aztecs.
Mm-hmm. And West Coast represent.
Yeah, West Coast. I know you were going for UConn because you're like, oh, well, if it doesn't look that bad if Gonzaga lost to the overall winner.
Well, they were just very dominant in all the games that I watched, so I figured that they would probably dominate San Diego State, too.
I'm reading like a fact about it. They won the six games it takes to win March Madness in a row by an average of 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the games were that close, or at least it ended not close. So they ended up once again winning the championship game with a score of 76-59. And I think the reason they won is they were just the most complete team in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They had multiple players that could basically... You know, the load was split evenly amongst the five players. So if one player, say, got in foul trouble or got injured, it wasn't that big of a deal. So it was a very big team win, I'd say. And this marks UConn's fifth NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's literally five in the last 20 years. So that's...
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
And this is LSU's first championship win, but it's their coach's fourth time winning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was coaching Baylor and won with them mm-hmm. the past three times she's won. So she's 4-0
yes.
for championship games, which is pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah, she's 4-0, and UConn's, I believe, 5-0 in the mm-hmm. once they get to the championship game. But speaking of, and I know we're jumping around, the LSU coach, like... Something that was funny that both of us were enjoying was all her outfits that she was wearing. She
yes.
was not wearing just a general, like, suit, or sometimes, you know, coaches don't dress up that much. But she was dressed up in another way.
Yeah, she, for the championship game, she had a sequined power suit that it was gold with black stripes, like tiger stripes.
Right.
Because they're the Tigers. Brian only figured that out like halfway through the game.
Oh, it's a tiger stripe. That's why she's wearing that.
I would recommend looking up some of her other outfits that she wore during the tournament because they're just very out there. Also, just her facial expressions in general are just hilarious to me. Just like over the top, just in every way.
Yes.
Like clothes wise and like facial expressions wise.
Yes.
So she was entertaining to watch, and I'm also very glad they won because she could be happy. Facial expressions.
Right. There's, speaking of facial expressions, I saw one picture where She's wearing a shirt that says, like, kiss me, I'm the queen, or I'm a queen.
Yeah.
While at the same time.
Screaming.
Those letters are, like, across, like, her shirt mm-hmm. while screaming at a ref.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny to picture.
And then, so, you know, LSU won on Sunday, and one of their players, Angel Reese, she's from Baltimore. She scored 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. She is cousins with UConn guard Jordan Hawkins.
Oh, that's right. I remember reading about that.
Yeah, so they are cousins, and she won the championship for her school on Sunday, and he won the championship with his school on Monday. So very talented family, and, I mean, that's on both sides.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
That's really cool.
That's very neat. Like, that family's going places.
Yeah, WNBA and NBA, I don't
that's
know.
That's got to be a very fun Thanksgiving. I wonder if they play basketball, like, in the driveway.
I mean, if there's, yeah, I would probably assume that would happen. But it's just pretty cool that they both won the championship games, you know, back-to-back in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
That's really impressive. And obviously, I'm sure they've played basketball with each other their whole lives.
Yes, yes.
Essentially, so.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah, that concludes March Madness for us. We won't really have much more news college basketball related-wise until we get, you know, updated news on, you know, next year's roster, which will come out, you know, later in the summer. Probably you'll hear which players have decided to stay and declare from the draft. Timmy has repeatedly said he is not taking he has one more year available, but he's not taking it. So
yes. And then I did want to wrap up our March Madness group. Mm-hmm. Brian actually did win first place, but not eligible for the gift card.
Nope.
So goes to Elise. So Elise got 10 points behind Brian, and we've already delivered the gift card to her. So congrats, Elise. Another good year. March Madness, I got 8th place out of 11 people, but...
Oh, Mary, what happened?
I had Gonzaga going all the way, so that was one problem. Yeah. And then there was a lot of upsets, and I chose a lot of 1 and 2 and 3 seeds to move farther than they did.
Oh, yeah, the 1, 2, and 3 seeds definitely got upset this year, so...
Yes.
Yeah, that'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, congrats, Elise, for being amazing and understanding basketball. I appreciate basketball savants. I recognize you as second smartest, of course, but of course you get the gift.
Yep.
Moving on, we have another article that I wanted to share with you guys, and this is an interesting milestone. So everyone has a cell phone, and the cell phone just celebrated its 50-year, birthday, 50 years in existence.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, 50 years ago. So the first cell phone was invented 50 years ago this week.
On April 3rd.
And the man who invented the phone, whose name is Martin Cooper. That's an old school name, Cooper.
Okay.
Anyways.
It's a last name.
Yeah, I guess anyone can have Cooper. Never mind. Martin Cooper, he's 94 years old, and he's been called the father of the cell phone. And basically, he invented it in the early 1970s when working for the American technology company Motorola.
Never heard of it. Why did you say it? American technology company? Everyone knows Motorola.
Well, I've never seen a Motorola phone like in so long. Like,
I haven't seen it in a long time, like, but yeah, I have heard of them before. Yeah,
Motorola, yes. And, you know, at the time, Motorola and other manufacturers were attempting to create the first wireless phone that could also work in vehicles, mm-hmm. which that's kind of interesting. So there was intense competition between Motorola, Bell Labs, and AT&T to build the first truly portable phone, and the technology that they were trying to invent at the time is known as cellular technology. Nowadays, we just call it a cell phone or a cellular device. And
it took them 5 months to make this, to develop it, and the first one had 25 minutes of talk time, which is pretty good.
Yes, and the phone weighed about 1 kilogram and was about 28 centimeters long. And basically, Cooper said the 25 minutes of talk time, it may be small, it's not that big of a deal because it's so heavy you can only carry it for about 25 minutes anyway.
And for those of you who don't know what 1 kilogram is, like I didn't, I had to just look it up, it's 2.2 pounds.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy considering all it could do was call, you know, for a maximum of 25 minutes, and now we have phones like that are lighter.
You know, I like that. You know, you just know no matter what happens on the call, they're only getting 25 minutes of your time. You know, I think we've seriously gone in the wrong direction with phones.
But, he, the inventor, Martin Cooper, he uses a late model iPhone. Mm-hmm. He likes that the phone permits him to do lots of things like read emails, watch YouTube, control his hearing aid. But he mostly uses the phone to just talk to people because, you know, he basically invented that. He said that he predicts that the phone will develop to the point to be able to be distributed on your body with sensors measuring your health at all times.
Okay.
He said that batteries could even be replaced by human energy. You ingest food, you create energy. Why have this receiver for your ear embedded under your skin, powered by your body? I don't want to do that. But the cell phone inventor also said that he worries about how the device has created serious risks for users. His most negative opinion is that we don't have any privacy anymore because everything is recorded. He also is hopeful, though, that cell phones will continue to help humanity. You know, his
they had all started off well, I mean, someone would have invented it, but he is officially the inventor. Yes. The cellular device, so he gets credit for it. So 50 years, and you can definitely see how it's evolved over the years. And now it's, you know, it's the power of, you know, a computer in the palm of your hand. You have access to...
You have ChatGPT now.
ChatGPT, you have access to the entire, you know, world's knowledge, you know, with Wikipedia and Google. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's what a time to be alive.
Yeah, I... don't know if I want to have it embedded within under my skin. I already have a medical device in my body.
Yes.
Don't need another one. Well, that's not necessary.
I feel like a little bit of the, like, the medical, like, the phone, like, embedded into your skin is somewhat similar to, like, the Apple Watch that reads your senses.
Yeah, but it's not like it.
It's not in your skin. It's on your skin.
Okay, well, that's different.
And then there's, like, a ring that like, reads your health.
I guess.
Pulse or whatever.
Well, they already have, like, the Aura ring that can kind of do that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
That's probably what he's thinking of.
I guess. Okay, for our last topic, Easter is coming up on Sunday, and so I will be asking Brian some Easter trivia questions, and we'll just see how you do. Okay?
Okay, let's do it. I know nothing.
Okay. Easter always falls between which two dates?
April 1st and April 10th.
Nope. March 22nd.
Oh my god.
And April 25th.
No, I didn't get. I know. I knew it was at the end of March. Yeah. Or early April.
Is there more candy sold for Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day, or Halloween?
It has to be Halloween. Halloween is always the classic. Yes. Okay.
But more. Easter, they said, is very close behind. Okay. Which I mean, I would feel like Christmas would or Valentine's Day honestly would be more than Easter.
No. Because you don't really get everyone candy for Valentine's Day. You always get yourself some jelly beans and chocolate bunny. Well, actually, I haven't gotten jelly beans for myself. I take that back. Some people like to get the chocolate.
Get on it, Brian. You only have 4 more days.
Yeah.
They're going to be sold out. How many chocolate bunnies are produced each year?
Oh, that's so open-ended.
Yep.
Is this worldwide, I guess?
It doesn't say.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say... a billion.
90 million.
Oh, okay. That was nowhere close. Okay.
Yep. The first Easter eggs were dyed what color?
I want to say maybe yellow or white. No, eggs are already white, so that would make no sense. yellow, maybe red. I don't know.
Red.
Red. Okay. There we go.
In the 13th century, the church prohibited eating what during Holy Week?
Peeps. No, I'm just kidding. I can get behind that. Chocolate?
Eggs.
Eggs. Oh, okay. Yeah, that would have been too far, banning chocolate.
How much did the world's largest chocolate Easter egg weigh?
Oh my goodness, that sounds... And this is a chocolate egg or just a...
Chocolate Easter egg, yeah.
Oh my god, that sounds so good. I'll say maybe 100 pounds.
15,873 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
Where is it? Is there a...
Tosca, Italy.
Oh, okay. They just, I guess they had a huge mold and started pouring chocolate into
Yes, that's it. The circumference of this egg is 64 feet, 3.65 inches. That's enormous.
Wow, you can't even hug that egg.
Not even close. No, you can't hug the egg.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Did you think that you were going to be bigger than the world's largest chocolate egg?
I don't know. I had no idea how large it could get, but it probably couldn't pick it up. You know, it could probably crush me if it started, you know, escaping and going down a hill.
So, well, yeah, it weighs 15,873 pounds. So, yes, it would crush you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably not one of those hollow eggs. It's probably like a solid
egg. Probably. Okay. How many jelly beans do Americans consume each Easter?
I will say 500 million.
16 million.
Ugh.
I'm a little bit over.
I'm overshooting this like crazy.
Okay. While the Easter Bunny brings children eggs in the U.S., what sort of critter delivers the goods in Westphalia, Germany? You should know this, Brian.
Why? Oh, I did live in Germany when I was one, and I don't remember any of it. So the Easter Bunny, it's not a bunny?
It's not a bunny. That would be a stupid question otherwise.
Okay. Is it another rodent or like another furry
animal? I'll just tell
you.
It's a fox.
A fox. Okay. And then, I would not have guessed that.
In Switzerland, what animal delivers Easter eggs to kids?
A bear.
A cuckoo.
What is that? Like a bird?
A bird.
Okay, okay.
You looked very confused for a second.
Yeah, like cuckoo.
Households spend how much on average on Easter annually?
Let's see. I will base this off of how much I spend.
Okay, you're the average household, apparently.
Well, a household of one. Okay. So I would spend money on a chocolate bunny. So that'd be like maybe $6.
Okay.
But
so that's what else are you buying?
I'll multiply it by three just because, you know, maybe the household's three. So
$18?
$20.
$131.
Oh my god. Oh, you know what? That's true because they do like the whole egg dyeing thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not that expensive.
Eggs are expensive.
That's right.
This year, you know?
Eggs are very expensive this year. I wonder if less people are doing egg dyeing this year because of it. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Okay. Let's see here. What's the most popular Easter candy in America?
That has to be the chocolate bunny. It has to be. It better not be Peeps.
It's Peeps.
I will lose my... No!
Don't lose your mind.
No. Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And let's see. I think that's all we have for this week.
I think I only got like two out of all of them.
That's okay.
But
they were difficult ones. These are just, you know, giving people knowledge about Easter so they can impress their friends and family this weekend.
Multiple choice. I usually thrive at the multiple choice, but the open-ended ones where it was like, what's the biggest egg? And I'm like, oh, maybe it's like 20 pounds.
Here's one last fact. Most Americans bite off the ears of a chocolate bunny first.
You know, I will give you a fact as well. You know,
okay.
I purchased the chocolate bunny and I've already eaten it. And we are, what, like 4 days away from Easter at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And I started at the ears. I think it's because it's the smallest part. Like the feet.
The body
the
is,
body
kind of
is
hard,
like
yeah.
all kind of put together and you can't put that in your mouth. So you start off with the ears. It's just, it's the right move. So.
Quote you right there. That's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on next year's eggs.
Yes.
Or bunnies, I guess. But, yeah, that's all we have for this week. Hope everyone has a good rest of your week and a good Easter. And fill your time now that basketball is over.
Bye.
Bye.